the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider, with a look at the week's Vatican news highlights and the interview segment. This week is part two of my conversation with Chicago priest Father Ryan Brady, who talks with great beauty and profound love about his priesthood. His priestly path includes fascinating twists and turns, and you will hear those this weekend, challenges and responsibilities. Last week he told us how he helped find a parish for Arabic-speaking Latin Rite Catholics in one of the first churches where he served in Chicago. I opened today's conversation reprising some of his words last weekend about this marvelous group. But first, the news highlights. Sunday, February 2nd, greeting pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis reflected on the day's feast of the Presentation of the Lord in the Temple. Saturday, the Pope had presided at First Vespers for this day in the Basilica in the presence of thousands of men and women religious. Referring to the day's Gospel that recounts Mary and Joseph bringing the infant Jesus to the Temple, he drew attention to the prophetic words of Simeon and Anna, proclaiming that the long-awaited redemption of Jerusalem has arrived. God is present among his people, not because he dwells within four walls, but because he lives as a man among men. Monday, February 3rd. Nothing is worth more than the life of a child. Pope Francis told this to world leaders gathered in the Vatican for the first global summit on children's rights. He reiterated his impassioned plea for the protection of children who are victims of conflict, poverty, migration, and a throwaway culture, including abortion and neglect, and he insisted on the urgent need to listen to them. Pope Francis then announced he would write an apostolic exhortation dedicated to children. Also Monday, Pope Francis welcomed a delegation of Scandinavian pilgrims during their visit to Rome for the Jubilee year, organized by the Nordic Bishops' Conference. He focused on three pillars of Christian life, saying their pilgrimage is an opportunity to grow in faith, hope, and love. He also reflected on the need for a united testimony of reconciliation and peace amidst ongoing wars in Europe and beyond. Tuesday, February 4th, the Vatican announced the Pope's prayer intention for February, quote, for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Wednesday, February 5th, during the general audience in the Paul VI Hall, Pope Francis explained that due to a bad cold, Father Pier Luigi Ciroli would read his catechesis. The catechesis, in fact, reflected on the mystery of the visitation, with the Pope urging the faithful to follow the example of the Blessed Mother who, visiting her cousin Elizabeth, welcomed God and his plans for our lives. The Blessed Mother visited St. Elizabeth, but it is above all Jesus in his mother's womb who visits his people. Though suffering from a cold, the Pope ended the general audience by personally praying for all those suffering in nations torn apart by war, and remembered in a special way priests and religious who serve in poor and conflict-stricken nations. Also Wednesday, in a telegram sent to Sweden's prime minister in the wake of Tuesday's mass shooting that killed 10 people at a school, Pope Francis expressed his closeness to the victims and to all those suffering their loss. He offered prayers for the repose of the soul of those who have died, for the consolation of their grieving families and friends, and for the speedy recovery of the injured. Thursday, February 6th. In his 2025 World Mission Day message, Pope Francis reminds missionaries that turning to the Lord in prayer is the key to keeping the spark of hope alive, so that it can become a great fire which enlightens and warms everyone around us. The 99th Mission Day will be observed on October 19th. The Pope began his message recalling that this year's World Mission Day has at its core hope, explaining that for this very reason he chose as its motto, Missionaries of Hope Among All Peoples. He noted that this reminds Christians and the entire church of our fundamental vocation to be, in the footsteps of Christ, messengers and builders of hope. Also Thursday, Pope Francis met with young priests and monks of the Oriental Orthodox churches, noting in his talk that union with God necessarily takes place through unity among us Christians, we who proclaim the same faith. He urged Christians to feel united to Christians of all traditions when we profess our faith by proclaiming the Nicene Creed. Also Thursday, the Holy See Press Office announced that, due to the bronchitis he's been suffering, and with a view to continuing his activities, on Friday, February 7th and Saturday the 8th, Pope Francis's audiences will take place at the Santa Marta residence. Also Thursday, it was announced by the Holy See Press Office that Pope Francis has extended the appointments of Cardinals Giovanni Battista Re and Leonardo Sandri, respectively Dean and Vice Dean of the College of Cardinals, whose five-year terms had expired. He also determined that Cardinal Robert Prevost, Prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops, will become a member of the Order of Bishops within the College of Cardinals. Friday, February 7th. In the Santa Marta residence, Pope Francis met privately with the new ambassador to the Holy See from Kazakhstan, the head of Italy's Authority for Children and Adolescents, and members of the Talitha Kum Network on the occasion of Saturday's World Day of Prayer Against Human Trafficking. The papal message for this World Day was also released Friday. Now, this day always falls on February 8th, the liturgical memorial of St. Josephine Bakita, a Sudanese woman who fell victim to human trafficking as a child and later became a nun. Well, those are the news highlights. Now, stay here for part two of my conversation with Chicagoan Father Ryan Brady, a wonderful friend who talks about the twists and the turns, the gifts, people, and responsibilities that the Lord has placed on his path.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Catholic radio means so much to me, I can't even tell you. I was so thirsty, even after 12 years of Catholic school, being the baby boom generation, a little bit, some things kind of dropped off as far as, like, we didn't get the Baltimore Catechism, we didn't get a lot of things that my older siblings got, and I always wanted to know why we believe what we believe, so I'm always pointing people to Catholic radio.
Pope Francis tells us, becoming a priest or a man or woman religious is not primarily our own decision. Rather, it's the response to a call of love. Do you feel as if God may be calling you to religious life? If so, contact a religious order faithful to the magisterium or your diocesan vocation. For information on the priesthood or religious life, visit EWTN.com/religious life today.
Prayer is powerful because it's prayer. It's not powerful because it alters the universe in the way we want. God's a lot smarter than that. He says to pray because it has power. Now, whether it turns out the way we want is not an indicator of the particular power of prayer. It is powerful because it is.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Father Ryan Brady, a priest and a dear friend from Chicago who talks with great beauty and profound love about his priesthood and where life has taken him since his May 2021 ordination. We spoke when he was in Rome on a Jubilee year visit with the Chicago chapter of the PAVM, Patrons of the Arts in the Vatican Museums. We spoke last week about that visit, about his ordination, and about the first parish where he worked, and then how he ended up as a pastor of the church that he grew up in, St. Christina in Chicago. The Lord has placed Father Ryan on a path that includes fascinating twists and turns, as you will hear this week, and the gifts and people and responsibilities that the Lord has placed on his path. Last week, he told us how he helped find a parish for Arab-speaking Latin Rite Catholics in one of the first churches where he served in Chicago. I open today's conversation, part two, reprising some of his words last weekend. Tell us about the Catholic Arab community. Began with a person that we both know.
Yeah, so there is a classmate of mine, we were ordained together, who at one point was discerning priesthood with the Franciscans in the Holy Land. And he decided, I am not called to religious life, and I'm not called to be a priest in the Holy Land, and eventually made his way to Chicago. We studied together, we were ordained together, and not long after ordination, he called me and said, I have some friends that you need to meet, and you should help them. And I said, sure, whatever I can do. And what it was a community of Arabic-speaking Latin Rite Catholics. The majority are from Palestine and the West Bank, or Jordan, or in the areas near there. And they were really hoping for a place to call home. They wanted to find a place where they could worship together as a community. And they needed more than just a church. Right? They needed more than to rent the church for an hour a week.
Sure.
Because this is a community that is really rich in their expression of faith.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
And what happened was we've begun to welcome this Our Lady of the Holy Land community to the Our Lady of the Ridge Church. And every Sunday they have Mass, which is wonderful. And after Mass, there's a big reception with lunch and socializing. But three, four nights a week, there's something else going on. There's choir practice. There's women's groups. There's rosary. There's
how vibrant.
It is incredibly vibrant.
And now, part two of my conversation with Father Ryan Brady.
There's something about the Christian diaspora that flows from the Holy Land that is important for the Universal Church. And one of the ways that we recognize how important it is, not only for the Universal Church, but for the Christians in the Holy Land, is twice His Beatitude, Cardinal Pizzaballa, had visited that community in Chicago.
Always one of my favorite people.
An incredible hero in our church.
Well, he was Custos of the Holy Land, Franciscan Custos of the Holy Land for many years, mm-hmm. Now the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, and inviting people to come back. He feels pretty positive about the ceasefire.
Just being in his presence as we drove from place to place, being in his presence over a meal, being in his presence as he celebrated the sacraments. I recognize that not only is this man a heroic leader, is he a very confident voice for the church in the Holy Land, but he's a holy man.
Yes.
He's a holy man. And you can't be a good priest or a good bishop or a good cardinal without a very robust life of prayer.
Absolutely.
We have to be.
Anybody who ever heard the late Cardinal Francis George of Chicago speak knows that.
Exactly.
And he was the living example of holiness, of humility, with his enormous brain and his ability, theologian par excellence, probably on the same level as Benedict, actually.
I just read a quote about from Cardinal George recently about to be a bishop, you have to be intimately in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you're not in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, how can you expect your people to? And that's the relationship that Cardinal George had with the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago, with Catholics in the United States. And I think that's the relationship that His Beatitude, Cardinal Pizzaballa, has with the Christians and the Catholics in the Holy Land. But also in his travels throughout the world to share the message of the Christians of the Holy Land, he's showing the world a man who is in love with Christ and who does all that he does recognizing how much Christ loves him.
You either preach Christ or you live him. You're supposed to be, a priest is, in persona Christi. Mm-hmm. How else could you do the words of consecration if you weren't? Now there's an even newer chapter in your life. Cardinal Supich recently appointed you to do something.
Yeah, so our Holy Father, Pope Francis, talks about God being a God of surprises. And I've been a priest just a short time, like 3.5 years. And it's one surprise after another, after another, after another. And we had a tragedy in the city of Chicago recently. A Chicago police officer was killed in the line of duty. And I had the great privilege to go to the hospital and anoint him. and then console his family, be with his family. And as we stood around, shoulder to shoulder, the different police officers with the family and for the family, the Chicago Fire Department stood with the Chicago Police Department, and as they should, and as they are privileged to do so, these are two selfless vocations for the people of our city. But as we stood there, the commissioner of the Chicago Fire Department and her chief of staff were speaking with me, and they says, "We've been asking Cardinal Supich for you to come on board with us. We know you have a heart for the people of God. We know you have a heart for the fire department. We know you have a heart for the servants of the city." I was floored. I was humbled by it. I just do what's right, and they wanted me to be their chaplain, and I says, "Look, I have a job, and I love my job. I love being the pastor of St. Christina." And the Cardinal's office called and asked if I would be interested in doing this in addition to my role with the parish.
Sure.
And obviously the parish takes priority as their pastor. But you know, the thing is, Joan, very many parishioners at St. Christina are police and fire. And there's a huge overlap in my responsibility and in my roles and in the way in which these communities come together. So it's really natural for me to be there for both. And it really is a seamless and harmonious relationship between my role as pastor of St. Christina and as my job as chaplain for the Chicago Fire Department. I mentioned 490 students in our school. Of those 490, 80% of our school children have one or both parents on the police or fire department.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that is phenomenal.
A lot of overlap there. And the parishioners are very happy that their pastor is a servant of the fire department.
Sure.
And the men and women of the Chicago Fire Department.
Well, you know, Ryan, as I was kind of preparing my notes, because I know all the stories, I just didn't want to forget something important. And I am sure that our listeners are saying at this point, listening to this amazing, wonderful, rich, fulfilling ministry of your priesthood, they're probably saying what I've said to myself many times: how on earth do you do it? But the answer has to be, well, obviously faith, but family and friends, your parishioners naturally, but it has to be with friendships. And see, and that's what I love. Think of all the years I've been in Rome, the priests that I've known because of the Roman Curia, all the young seminarians at the North American College. So my life has been enriched by their stories, by their faith. And I just want to make a kind of, I guess, a big point, almost a plea. I'm going to ask my listeners a question right now. Think about it. Do you have friendship with priests? Are you friends with your pastor? Do you know anything about him beyond his name? And he says Mass at 9 o'clock on Sundays. Because I can't imagine anything being better for the life of a Christian Catholic, than having friendship with a priest. And what do you get out of the friendship too? You know, you're probably never alone, so I don't think loneliness would be a
one of the great fears that I think families have for their sons who are in the seminary is that my child will be lonely, my son will be lonely. I haven't had a lonely moment.
Yeah, which we just heard.
Yeah, I haven't had an alone moment, let alone a lonely one.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a real beauty in not only the priest-parishioner relationship, but the friendship between the two. I've been to parishioners' houses for dinner. We've gone out to dinner. If I'm out to dinner with friends or family, parishioners are walking by, or people from neighboring parishes will walk by, and, "Hey, Father, how you doing, Father? Nice to see you, Father. How about things with the fire department, Father? How about things with the White Sox, Father?" Anything from happy to joyful, but they'll also pull you aside because they're comfortable with you as a friend and say, "Can you help me by praying for my son? Can you help me by praying for my cousin or my aunts or my uncles or what have you," right? With a friendship, there's a comfortability. And with that comfortability, in your moment of need, you're not crying out to a stranger, but to a person you know and a person you love and a person you know loves you.
You know whose story exemplified what you're saying? It was Pope John Paul. His entire life was spent with families. So he could hear family arguments. and, you know, just hear a couple might disagree with him, with each other over the dinner table. He could see the impact of children, both good and bad, you know, on life. And he spent so much time with teenagers and sporting activities. Mm-hmm. So he already knew the needs of an individual, of a man, a woman, a child, a couple.
Another critique of the church sometimes that I think is unfair is, what does the priest know? What does a celibate man know about the life of a family? How is he supposed to counsel me or my children or what have you? Well, John Paul II is a perfect example. He lived his whole life with families.
Yes, exactly.
And as a part of a family. He may not have been a spouse, but he was very much a part of that family. And from that privileged position as priest, you can see in a beautiful way how God can work and should work in the lives of those around you. So you build friendships and you build relationships with family, and you see how it's done well. Right? But you can also see where it can be done better, right? Through the grace of God, but through the family's vulnerability with you. I think with a relationship and a friendship with a priest, you are enriching yourself with a good friend. I think, too, of also the experience that a priest has and people bearing their soul to them. Right, there's a great lived experience and learned experience in the life of a priest with families and for families.
Some of the best dinner parties I've ever had have been with priest friends. And as over the years learning so many vocation stories, which begin in families, by the way. Hello. Grew up in a family, so...
Priests don't come from nowhere.
No, exactly. You know, how parents can be difficult when you probably, as a teenager, rolled your eyes at something mom or dad said. Family life is part of the life of a priest. But I just think it's so important to have those friendships. If you're listening to me, folks, if you have never invited your pastor for dinner, it can be a very wonderful experience. Now, there's only so many nights a pastor can go out. You can't have 100 invitations in a week. But if you've never done it and you'd like to do it and you'd like to get to know your pastor, you will probably be stunned at the results of the evening. So I so love the priesthood. I so love your particular story because it is so rich. You are there for so many people. You know, like you said, you're barely ever even alone, much less, you know, lonely.
Joan, I'd like to mention also, as you mentioned, praying for your priest, inviting him to be with your family. Don't forget to also pray for more priests. Pray for vocations
Absolutely.
To the priesthood. And also look at your sons and say, maybe this son of mine can become a priestly son of the church. And pray for that grace. I think my mother and father may have been a little hesitant at the beginning. But I think that they've been overwhelmed, just as overwhelmed, if not more than I have, of the grace that the priesthood is
sure.
for the man who is called. And I think for the mothers and fathers out there, if you pray for your son, if you recognize something in him, pray for him to recognize his vocation to the priesthood and to live it beautifully. This is the most incredible life I could ever imagine living. This is the greatest gift that God has ever given me. And regularly throughout the day and every single day, I find myself saying, Lord, look what you let me do today. What an incredibly privileged life to be in these beautiful moments in community, beautiful moments in family. Day after day after day, there is a rich reward that God gives you just for showing up as a priest.
I can't tell you how many times during the day I thank God for who I am, where I am, who's in my life, what he has enabled me to do as a journalist, as a writer, to bring his word to so many people. And it can be on the written page, my column, and it can be a conversation like we've had, where hopefully we will leave people thinking about what you just said. Well, I know you have a little more to do today. So my promise is to darken your door in Chicago, to get to know all the different groups of which we've just been speaking, make that happen, you know, ASAP. My biggest thing is continued prayers for you
in your
ministry. And
I can make a request?
Yeah.
So I have holy cards printed up that I've been handing out all over the parish, and I've been handing them out all over Rome with a memorare.
Oh, my favorite prayer.
Asking people to pray for the spiritual growth and flourishing of St. Christina Parish in Chicago. So if your listeners could say a memorare for my parish, but also
an ave for firemen.
There we go. Thank you very much. Yeah, you knew where that second shoe was going to drop. Say a prayer for not only the Chicago Fire Department, but all the men and women in the fire service across our country and across our world. It's in the most desperate moments that we see them running to us, to assist us, to save us. And in their own way of selfless action, live Christian love and Christian virtue in a beautiful way.
And actually, to be honest, as you and I are speaking, our newly elected president is on his way to California to meet with the, I don't know what officials he's going to meet with, but to meet with the firemen who have been working on those devastating and massive fires. So
yeah, it's a horrible thing, and the world's eyes were turned to Southern California with the fires there. And it's another occasion where there's a great tragedy, and you say, where is God in all of this? Well, God is in the hearts of the men and women who are running into that danger.
Sure.
We saw it on September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
Who were the people running to danger? Who was God with in those moments?
Right.
God was within those
moments. Not running
people.
Away from it, and that's pretty
exactly.
much your vocation also.
Yeah, and we've seen it again now. We've seen it again in Southern California, and God willing, there'll be no tragedies ever again, but we know there will. And let's pray for the bravery and the courage of the men and women of the fire service to answer that bell again.
And not only that, we will all pray for Father Ryan Brady of St. Christina in Chicago. If you're ever in the area, find out the Mass schedule and go and say hi and tell them Joan sent you. So on that note, Father Ryan Brady, my good friend, God bless you. I know he has already, but may he continue to bless you.
Thank you very much, John.
Okay, take care.
Bye now.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.